In our study last Lord's Day, we were noting to be consistent. When a person denies the existence of God, that person must also deny many other things as well. We noted Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. We begin with the first point, to deny God, to deny his existence, that is to deny design. Without God, there would be no design, period. There would be no order, period. Of course, we're living in a universe that has design, it has order, because God designed it, God created it. And then our second point was to deny God, and that's certainly going to also imply that you're going to have to deny the laws of science, because God set forth these laws of science. True science is never going to disagree with the Bible. Falsely called science, yes, that's going to be in disagreement. But you know, without God, there would be no laws of science. And we talked about a number of those important scientific laws, like the law of biology, the first and second law of thermodynamics. And then we pointed out the logical argument, something cannot come from nothing. We all know that. Something exists. We all know that. Therefore, something, or better to say, someone has always existed. That, of course, is God, as he is eternal. Not matter. No, sir. That's winding down. So now, we want to pick back up with where we left off last Lord's Day, and we'll want to do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And what more important thing could we be doing than just that? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying the precious Word of God in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in truth, that is, according to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And let's also mention this, we're always glad to study God's Word with anyone. And we look forward to those opportunities. Also, if you have Bible questions, feel free to send those to us. Your comments are always appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and also our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get back to our study. To deny God, to deny his existence, is also to deny that the human mother came first. This is our third point now. Well, the old question, you've heard it many times, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the answer is obvious, it was the chicken. God created animals in an adult state. And he created Adam and Eve in an adult state. Took from Adam a rib and created woman. And her name, of course, was Eve. And she, obviously, was the first human mother. So you see, this is easily answered by those of us that believe the Word of God. We can easily answer the question, and let's form it this way, which came first? the human mother, or the human baby? Again, we can easily answer the human mother, of course. But without God, there would be no answer to this question. Which came first, the human mother or the human baby? As you asked an evolutionist this question, they're not going to be able to give you an answer one way or the other. Now, they're going to try to say that, well, it was an evolving process and it's not, you know, concrete. Well, it's either one or the other, because you don't see half monkeys, half man walking around. We don't see any in-between stages. They claim there's some fossils that are representing that, but no, that's even debatable among the scientists. Even the evolutionists have disagreements about that, and those fossils you could put in the back of a pickup truck. But if this was true, you would have a lot of fossils found showing in between stages. They're not there, and we all should know that. So don't buy into this smoke screen that they want to put up. You have to answer this question one way or the other. Which came first, the human mother or the human baby? And we all should know the answer. Of course it's the human mother. But for the evolutionist, he's not going to say the human mother, because that's agreeing with creation. That's agreeing with the Word of God. He's not going to say the human baby came first, because that's saying that a human baby came from a non-human mother. And that's absurd. So they're stuck. So you see, to deny God is to deny that the human mother came first. Let's move on now to our fourth point. And that is this: to deny God, to deny His existence, is also to deny morality. Without God, there would be no morality. That's right. We all should understand this. It's not difficult. It's just very precisely stated in a logical way. Morality cannot come from non-morality. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way, does it, folks? No, sir. Right does not come from wrong. To be moral, you're upright. You're going to do properly the ways of life that we are about. We're not going to be involved in harmful activities to others and so forth. Well, how do you know what's moral? If you take away God, you're not going to know what is moral and what is not. And so again, without God, there would be no morality. As you see in the first book of the Bible, for example, verse 28 of chapter 1 in Genesis, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Here's positive commands. Be fruitful, multiply. Yes, and Adam and Eve, of course, were over the animals. Now, verse 17 of chapter 2. Let's go over to chapter 2. Here's a negative command. They could eat of all the trees of the garden. Here's the exception. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here's a negative command. And Adam and Eve understood these commands that God had given them. Yes, you can see that clearly. They understood them in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Eve knew very well what God had commanded, just as we can understand God's commands today. For example, in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Did anybody misunderstand that? No one should. It's very precisely stated, and everybody should grasp that. That's with a sound mind. So the point is, again, to deny God is to deny morality, because God gave laws that man could understand. And that's how morality came about. By submitting to the will of God, we can be a good moral person. Now, somebody might say, well, an atheist can be a good moral person. Well, they may not be committing adultery. They may not be committing, you know, robbery or things that are obviously wrong. No. But the point is, how is it that they got to this point of conducting themselves in a proper way? You see, they were brought up in a society that was influenced by the law of God. You can't get away from it. Without God, there is no law. Thus, without God, there is no morality. That's the point. How can there be right and wrong if there is no God? Who would decide what is moral? Who's going to decide what is evil? What about the laws of Germany? Hitler was not breaking their law, you see, when he did his horrible, treacherous acts in trying to annihilate people. Well, you see, how are you going to say that's wrong if you take away God from the picture? This is what I'm getting at. Morality could only come from God. You can only say Hitler did wrong because God does exist and God gave his laws. And we're under it, whether we believe it or not. So morality could only come from God. But think about what happens when man takes it upon himself to set the standards. Then you're going to have problems. Oh, we can see that clearly. Go back again to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And this is what happened when man wanted to set the standards. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God allowed man to choose to obey or disobey. And this is with the situation of the majority of the world. In this case, all but 8 souls were involved in continually thinking evil thoughts. They left God out. They made the wrong choice. And so you know, of course, what happened. God brought the flood, the Genesis flood, the Noahic flood, and covered the earth. There was a cleansing. 8 souls were saved by water. The rest of them drowned. But the point is what? What happens when man wants to set the standards? God's not going to destroy the earth with another flood, of course. There was the covenant made. And notice what's going on today with man trying to set the standards and leaving aside God's law. So many people, I mean so many people, say that abortion is all right and a woman should have that right to choose to take the life of her unborn child. It's not her body, but they say it's her body and she has the right to choose. Well, anybody with half a brain should know that it's not the woman's body that she's taking the life of. It's another life. Obviously, that's so obvious. No one should miss that. But yet we're being told that that's okay. People will fight tooth and nail to keep that option open for women to choose. And, of course, some men are going right along with it, too. Sad to say. What about suicide? You have some people justifying that. mercy killing. You know, that's being justified by a lot of people. Homosexual behavior, that's considered normal today. And also transgenderism. If our children want to experiment around, change their gender, that's okay. We're going to substantiate that with a number of schools already doing so. Some parents have fallen into this trap. You see what I'm saying? You have a situation today where these obvious perversions and sinful activities are being looked at as if they're normal behavior. This is my point. This is what happens when man takes it upon himself to set the standards. So again, our point, our main point here is to deny God is to deny morality. And then everything is open for whatever you want to do. You want to live together? Never get married, as so many today are doing? Yes, it's fine. Society says not a problem. Divorce for any cause, not a problem. When man sets the standard, but what does God say? We better want to know what does God say. Everybody should want to know that. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 6 for a moment. Because here are the things that God hates. We need to be aware of them. Verse 16 of Proverbs 6, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And what's more innocent than the unborn child in the mother's womb? Now let's go on. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We better not be involved in these sins that God hates. And if we have been, we need to get forgiveness. And we can if we'll submit to the gospel of Christ. But let's go on. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 now. Again, we're seeing what does God say, as so many people have set a false standard to live by. Well, we want to know what standard God has set. And so we go now to Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Note that. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That should be obvious. Of course it's against nature. If everybody practiced homosexuality, well, eventually we'd all die out, wouldn't we? You can't reproduce. So it's against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now, anybody want to tell me that that doesn't refer to homosexuality? You better not, because it's there, and you can't miss it. Now, we care about those practicing this sin. We want to see them give it up, come out of it, and get forgiveness. We care about their soul. But if we're quiet and subdued and keep our mouths shut, do we really care about them then? Just to substantiate perverted, sinful activity? Do we not get the point? If we care about people, we want to see them get out of sin. And you have to let people know that they're in sin for them to get out of it. And all of us should understand that. But let's go on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, malice that is, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, evil habits that is, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's talking about like a mother's love for her child. That's natural affection, family love. Implacable. That's someone that's unwilling to reconcile. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Even if we're not participating in these sins, we better not take pleasure in those that are. That's the point, isn't it? So this is what God says. Note Matthew 19, 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, now note this, all of us, made them male and female. Two genders, that's it. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, notice, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, notice all of us, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, there's the exception, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. We all should understand this. There's one scriptural grounds for putting away, and that's the unfaithful spouse. The innocent spouse then has that right if they choose to do so. They also could choose to forgive them and keep the marriage. But this is the one grounds for putting away. Now, what does the world say? Who are we going to believe? What God says in his holy word or what the world says? We better be staying with the word of God. Preachers, are we preaching the truth when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Well, we better be. We're going to have to give an account. So, again, we're making the point to deny God is to deny morality. You can see what happens when the society, when our culture is setting the standard. And we're getting away from what God says. So without morality, there would be no definition of sin. That's what people are wanting. Because there would not be a standard to follow since the law comes from God. People want to get away from that. In 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. And of course, God gave the law. In Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law of Moses, of course, was nailed to the cross. You can't be justified by that law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, though that's the point. In Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. If you don't have law, if you don't have God, you don't have law, and therefore you don't have sin. And so again, the point is made, isn't it? To deny God, to deny his existence, is to deny morality. In 1 John 3:7 through 9, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, that is, does not practice sin, is not continuing in sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Again, that's not practicing sin. And we all should see that. For if we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us, as we noted in 1 John 1, chapter 1 there. So let's be sure we're not practicing sin. And we understand that we're under the law of God. We're all under the law of Christ. And we're going to give an account on the day of judgment for how we've lived in this life. And that will be the standard by which we're judged. The law of Christ. Not what the society says and sets these ungodly standards. We've seen that. Everybody should see this. And so as we study together today, and we need to put a peg here and continue, Lord willing, the third sermon in this series. Yes, you can see to deny God is to deny a number of other things. And let's be sure that we're aware of this and are able to help those who are having difficulties. Yes, a lot of our young people are losing their faith. Yes, we need to be aware of these things and be able to help them. What about ourselves, though? Are we getting caught up in the cultural changes of our society? We need to hold fast. Keep the faith, no matter how many do not. A number of congregations are dwindling, aren't they? What about us? Do we want to spend eternity with God in heaven and all the faithful? Or do we want to spend it with Satan, the father of lies and the deceiver, our enemy, and all those that have followed after him? We have the choice. Well, it shouldn't be difficult. But what is our life saying about what choice we've made? Yes, there is a God, and he loves us. Gave his only begotten son on the cruel cross of Calvary so we could have salvation from our sins. That's the love of God. And we want to talk about that, Lord willing, next week. That's another thing you have to deny if you deny God. So let's be sure we're in the right relationship with Christ. Are we in his body, the true church? Not unless we've obeyed the gospel. We must hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must repent of our sins, making a change of wills. Then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. And then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's where we're contacting his precious blood that washes away our sins. We come up out of that water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death, and we'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.